Pray with me. Father, we thank you that you want us to be happy. And I pray that we come to a understanding that while our sins are many, your mercy is more. And show us what it means to be merciful. Bless us as we study your word. Let the words that are spoken be yours. And let us hear. And let us see and be drawn to you. And it is in your name that we pray. Amen. We are talking about being crazy happy. God wants us to be happy. Now, we have investigated that when we accept Christ, we become new creatures. It's not like He's renovating what was there. What was is no more, and what you are now is what He intended for you to be. And the problem with happiness for us is that we keep seeking happiness for a self that doesn't exist anymore. We seek happiness in the world, and it doesn't last, and we find ourselves unhappy looking for something else. Remember this, it's like you cannot, as hard as you try, mix oil and water. It will look as appear, it'll appear as if you did, and then it's not. For us, as we try to find happiness in this world, it might last for a minute, and then it's gone, and it's separated, because these two don't mix, just like you and this world don't mix. You are a foreigner. If you've accepted Christ, you are a foreigner in a foreign land. If you've ever traveled to other countries and tried to eat their food, sometimes you think, this is great, and other times you think, oh my gosh. Okay? You weren't made for this. So, just like oil and water, you can try to mix them. You can try to find happiness in this world. And when it settles, you won't be happy. And so, as we explore the Beatitudes, it is the clearest place in all of Scripture of what it means to be a Christian. And Jesus, who bought our sins and made a way for us back to Christ, lays it out very clearly of what it means to be a follower of Christ. Now, the thing about being a follower of Christ is it is all or nothing. You can't pick what attributes of being a Christian you want. Like I said before, this hamburger illustrates for us, you can't take off the things you don't want on your hamburger. You get it all. That's the only way to go. And today, we're getting into the toughest one for most of us. Most of us don't want a double meat burger. Anybody eat a double? It's just too much. He can, because his metabolism. One day his metabolism is going to slow up. We know what happens then. But this, when we get to this, the double meat portion of the Beatitudes, everybody wants to leave that off. Let's get into it. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 7 is where we have worked our way down to. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. We just want to leave that part out. Blessed are the merciful. Now remember, translated, blessed means happy. Happy are the merciful. If you want to be happy, be merciful. This is a challenge for most of us. Let me illustrate it for you. You ever bought a bag of chips out of a vending machine? You put your money in, you press the button, and that little spiral goes, and then your chips drop. You ever gone, and your chips is still there? How mad were you? How mad were you? How many people in this room have beat up on a vending machine to get your bag of chips? Beat up a vending machine. Mad. And then, if you're like me, you think, well, you know what? I'll buy another bag, and then I'll have two, because I'll eat them later. So you put more money in. One bag drops, and the other one's stuck. I've even had it happen. Both bags are still stuck. And you're mad. Why are you mad? Because you want what you paid for. You just want fairness. Okay? I put my money in. I expected chips. And I want chips. Now, how many of you have gone to that same vending machine, put your money in, and you get two bags of chips? Boop, boop. Were you mad? You got something for free. You weren't mad. You should have been just as upset because the machine malfunctioned. But you're not. You walked away with both bags of chips. When it comes to mercy, we want mercy. But are you willing to give mercy? If you got mad at that vending machine, it's because you didn't get what you paid for. And what we want in our lives is when people does something wrong to us, we want fairness. We want it fixed. We want rightness. Mercy is putting the money in, the spiral go around, your chips are still there, and you walk away not being mad. That is really hard to do. That is really hard to do. Think about this in terms of the people who Jesus is talking to when he's laying out the Beatitudes. Their life at this moment is not really that good. Okay? Their political situation is bad. They are not free. They are under the rule of the Roman government. Okay? And then what happens for them in terms of church leadership? The people decide, the church people, the leaders of the church, set up all these rules. And what they do is they make the rules where it is easy for them to keep, so then I can look down on you when you break them. Okay? This is what happens to us as church people. We judge people on things that we're good at. Areas where I don't have a problem. So I can look down on you and say, you should be better. But rarely do we look at anybody in terms of areas that I am weak. And Jesus has a message. Turn with me over to chapter 9 in Matthew. Matthew chapter 9. Verse 13, he's talking to the Pharisees here, these church leaders who have set up all these rules and are looking down on everybody that's breaking them and telling them how wrong they are and what they should do different. Jesus says, "But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I did not call the righteous, but the sinners to repentance." Now, this is one of the areas in Scripture that I absolutely love it when Jesus starts quoting Scripture. Okay? So he's telling these church leaders who know the Old Testament, they have learned it, and they are pointing their finger at everybody who is not living up to it. And Jesus says, "But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice." Turn with me back to the Old Testament, to Hosanna chapter 6. Okay? Chapter 6, verse 6. Chapter 6, verse 6. What does it say? "For I desire mercy, not sacrifice." He's quoting Scripture to them. He is telling them what they know, and he told them, "You need to go learn what this means." "I desire mercy, not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than a burnt offering." He's saying, "I want people who know me. I want people who are more worried about being who they need to be than who they think you should be." When you put your money in and your chips don't fall, when that person who should know better treats you in a way that you cannot imagine, what is your reaction? Jesus is saying, the merciful will receive mercy. The merciful will be happy. What we want is justice when we've been wronged, and mercy when we're wrong. And what you have to be willing to do is to walk away from the vending machine and not be mad. Now, if you've ever beat up on one of them vending machines and tried with all your might to get your chips, and at some point you've come to the place where you say, "They're not going to fall. No matter what I do, they're not going to fall. I beat the fool out of that machine. I've tilted it. I've hammered it. I've banged on that glass, and it is not going to fall." And you have to walk away, and you walk away frustrated because you didn't get what you thought you should have. There are going to be people who are going to wrong you, and they're wrong. They are absolutely 100% wrong. And you can beat on that vending machine until your hands bleed, and it's never going to change, and they are never going to say, "I'm sorry," and the situation will never be made right. And what Jesus says is, give them mercy. And when you do, you're going to be happy. That makes no sense. Because the world says this has to be made right. And God says, I already did. I made it right for them and you when I died on the cross. And I died for your sins and theirs. And when they sin against you, I made that right too. So the double meat, the one nobody wants, is mercy. It's mercy. I found out today, I didn't know this, I walked in the back door and I looked at this thing and I said, if you're sitting on the back row, you can't read none of that. So y'all just have to trust me. Mercy is merciful. Which means that last week when I spelled that word wrong, nobody knew it because y'all couldn't see it. Mercy will get you mercy. And if you want to be happy, you have to give mercy. You have to walk away from the vending machine without your chips. And from somebody who has beat up on a vending machine. And there's something in you that says, I have to get the chips. I have to. And it's not possible. There have been things that have been done to me in my life that no matter what could be done, it would never be made right. And I have to understand that I'm up here, not down here. And Jesus made it right when He died on the cross. The wrong that was done to me, He made right. And I have to stop trying to make it right in the world's eyes. Let's keep going. Verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Now this one is very easy to misunderstand. Blessed are the pure at heart. That sounds like I have to be perfect. When my heart is pure, then I'm going to see God. That's not what Jesus is saying. Okay? Because that is unachievable for me as I'm standing there beating up on a vending machine. Okay? Here's what God is saying to you and I in that verse. Think about it like this. I borrowed this from my wife. You've been on the receiving end of one of these, haven't you? Okay. This allows somebody, a medical personnel, I've tried, but I don't know what I'm listening to. I don't understand it. But this allows the person who has their ears right here to be singularly focused on your heart. Everything else is blocked away, and what they hear is your heart. And what God wants when He says, I want somebody pure at heart, He's asking for somebody who has one purpose. One purpose. And that is to seek Him. And when you seek Him, what does it say? When you seek Him, you will see Him. So this is encouragement. Remember, these people are living in a confusing, unsettling environment. Their economy is a mess. Their church is a mess. Their whole world is a mess. Sound like anything you know? And God is saying, in the midst of that, be focused on one thing, and that's seeking me. And all that is going on, if you seek me, you'll see me. And what he is encouraging the Christians of this day, the followers, the people who have dedicated themselves to him, is the promise that this is not it. Okay? This is not it. And what I mean by that, anybody ever in here seen the movie Forrest Gump? Now, for me, that is the worst movie I have ever seen. Okay? Among other things, it is so long. And when I watch that, and it hasn't been maybe 3 or 4 years ago that I saw it for the very first time. Okay? And as I'm watching that, I'm thinking, this is horrible. And I keep watching thinking, this is going to get better. This movie is beloved. People everywhere love this movie. This has to get better. So I keep watching. And now I'm invested, okay, thinking, this thing is horrible. I wish I could turn it off. But it's got to get better. I cannot be missing what everybody else loves this movie. And I watch that whole stinking thing, and it is horrible. I'm thinking, what did everybody love about this thing? It's the dumbest movie I ever saw. And I invested 3 hours of my life into that thing that I can't get back. Okay? If this is all there is to the Christian life, if this is it, if this is what Jesus paid our sins on the cross for, it ain't worth it. And what Jesus is saying is, seek me, you're going to see me, and know that the best is yet to come. He bought me, and he bought you for eternity. Our life here is just a mere blip. And the best is yet to come. Because it is going to come to a time when I'm not here anymore, praise the Lord, and I am with him. That's what he's saying. If you seek me, you are going to see me. And so he's saying, the pure at heart, not the perfect, okay? A lot of people would say, when you're pure at heart, he made you pure, okay? He is making you pure. But he's not looking for perfection. What he's looking for is somebody who has one purpose, and that is to seek me. When you start seeking him, you're going to see him. So this is pure. And this is seeing. Anybody in here wear glasses? I am blind without mine, okay? I have a disease in my eyes that makes your eyeball is supposed to be the shape of a basketball. Mine's the shape of a football. I wear contacts that you could eat cereal out of, and they're glass. Y'all think I'm joking. They do not touch the colored part of my eye. They only touch the white part. Now think about how big that has to be, okay? But when I put them on, I go from blurry to crystal clear perfect. And if you want to see this world, not through this mixed up, if you want to see it clearly, start focusing on nothing but God. And what will separate for you is the things that don't matter will go to the bottom, and the things that do matter will come up to the top, and you will say, why did I spend so much effort and so much energy beating on a vending machine trying to get a bag of chips. Because it doesn't matter. And if you want to be happy, the kind of happy that God wants for you, when you start following the Beatitudes and becoming that person, you're going to be really, really happy. In fact, you're going to be crazy happy. Pray with me. Father, I thank you that you love us enough to want to be invested in our lives and that you want us to be happy. And you have a plan for our happiness. And that involves us being focused on you. And while we are in this world, not being of this world. Father, I pray for each of us in this room. I pray that we would come to see and understand what it is that you want from us, because you want the best for us. Father, open our eyes and let us see you. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.